This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. And glad to welcome author Michael Pollan to Cincinnati Edition. He has authored a number of books, including The Botany of Desire, The Omnivore's Dilemma, and In Defense of Food. His newest book is called Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation. And he's here to talk about the transformations that he explores in his new work. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good to be here, Mark.
Cooked really follows your education in the kitchen, though I thought you to be an educated person in the kitchen already, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I cooked. It's not like I never cooked, and we cooked more meals probably than we didn't. But it wasn't anything I'd really paid attention to as a writer or really dug into. I kind of took cooking for granted. It's just what you did every day. And I approached it without a lot of, you know, curiosity. And then when I decided to really get into it, because I came to understand that how the food gets transformed, you know, when it comes off the farms, has a tremendous influence, first on our diet, and most importantly, the most important thing about your diet is who's cooking it. Is it a human being or a corporation?
Yes.
That matters more than the nutrients in it or the calories in it. But it also has a huge influence on the farm and what's going on in agriculture, a subject I've been interested in for a long time. If we're letting corporations do all our cooking, they're only going to support the largest, most industrialized, and most intensive agriculture. And that's why we have the agriculture we have. That was really driven by the rise of fast food. So if you want to change agriculture and if you want to improve your health, you really have to look at this link in the food chain. And that's when I decided to start taking it very seriously.
And Cooked follows what you call the middle part of the chain. You mentioned that you've been a gardener for most of your life, and of course you've written about food at the consumption end, but really never explored that middle ground.
Yeah, exactly. And the middle ground turns out to be perhaps the most important link in the chain, how we transform the food to make it either healthier or less healthy. Depends on who's doing it and how they're doing it. And also, I wanted to remind myself and remind my readers that, you know, a piece of food is not just a thing. It connects you in this web of relationships all the way back to the land and the farmers and to your loved ones who you're eating with and cooking for. And cooking is, you know, incredibly important to our history as a species. I mean, it is what made us human. I mean, it's what sets us apart. We're the only animal that cooks. And it is central to our social life, or was when everybody still sat down for family dinner.
I was going to point out, you say in the book, right in the introduction, about how much time we don't spend preparing meals anymore.
Well, yeah, home cooking is in free fall. We were cooking, we're only cooking about 27 minutes a day per person on average, and 4 minutes cleaning up. That has fallen by half since the 1970s. And the decline in home cooking very closely tracks the rise in obesity. And if you look at cultures that still cook, they don't suffer from obesity. Obesity is really the result of outsourcing our cooking to corporations because they cook very differently than human beings do. They use way too much salt, fat, and sugar. And they also cook kinds of foods that we used to call special occasion foods because they were so much trouble to make. I'm talking about cream-filled cakes and snacks and French fries. Corporations cook these so efficiently that we end up eating something like French fries twice a day. Whereas if you made that at home, it's such a pain and it makes such a mess and you're stuck with all this oil to get rid of that you would only have it like once a month or so, which is probably about as often as we should be eating French fries.
It's amazing, as you point out, how little time we spend thinking about the food with these corporations delivering. But you took the time to learn the various magical aspects, if you may. And you mentioned the word magic a couple of times in the book. That the transformation where it goes from being something on the farm to something that you're eating and you explored. I love the organization into the classical elements, fire, water, air, and earth. Explain those, please.
Sure. Well, you know, I was trying to kind of push cooking into a corner and look at it. What was it really about? What was the fundamental principles here besides heat? And heat is only just part of it. And I found that there are four basic transformations that almost all dishes fall into. The first is fire. That's the simplest, is cooking food over a fire. And it's the oldest. It goes back 2 million years. And for that, I studied whole hog barbecue in North Carolina. I worked with a great pitmaster there named Ed Mitchell. And then there is a leap forward in time to about 10,000 years ago, and you have this amazing new technology, which is cooking in liquid in pots. And you can't do this until you have a ceramic pottery that can survive a fire and allows you to boil food. And this allows you to combine plants and animals together. It allows you to create sauces. It also allows you to feed old people because you can soften food in it and feed babies. You can take grain and make porridge. You don't need teeth once you have cooking in pots. So that's water. And then air is cooking with air, which is to say baking bread, which is porridge that's been levitated, basically, with the use of yeast. And that process of baking bread takes this inert, paste of grain and turns it into a highly nutritious and delicious food that has fed people for, many thousands of years. Bread was 50% of the diet for most of European history. And the last one, in some ways the most fascinating, is earth, by which I mean cooking with microbes, cooking without the use of any heat whatsoever. You can actually just use bacteria and fungi to cook your food. And we do that. That's how we make cheese. That's how we make yogurt. That's how we make pickles and sauerkraut and kimchi. And that's how we make alcohol. And the idea that we could cook with these other species and not use heat is kind of amazing, and for me, the most magical of all the transformations.
Well, you point out that, as you said, with cooking with water, that allowed older people and young children to be able to eat and digest, and you really talk about how linked cooking is to our development as human beings, and as you mentioned a few minutes ago, how it's part of our social fabric, and that's why we spend more time watching cooking on TV than we do actually in our kitchens cooking.
Well, that's weird. I mean, when you think about it, it's true. I mean, if we're spending 27 minutes a day cooking, we're spending a lot more time than that watching other people cook on TV. And I don't have to point out to you that the food you see cooked on TV, you don't get to eat.
No kidding.
So why is it we're turning cooking into a spectator sport, which I think is a curious development? I think something has to do with the fact that we're intimidated. I think we watch these shows, and they make cooking look heroic, like this professional athletes at work, and it looks really difficult, which it's not. That's part of it, and, we're tired after a long day at work, and we'd rather sit on the couch than stand in the kitchen. But I think that's a shame. I think we lose a lot when we give away our cooking to corporations. It's not as economical. It's certainly not as healthy, and we're missing out. We're being robbed of what I think is one of the great pleasures of life, which is cooking something delicious for people you love.
I think that was a great point to make, and I had to chuckle a little bit, Michael, because I was thinking as I was reading this, I'm spending all this time reading about cooking rather than cooking, too. So,
well, I know. My book, you could argue, will keep you out of the kitchen for a little while, and it's not a short book.
But you do include 4 recipes, for each element.
And my hope is that it is a book that will make you want to get off the couch and get into the kitchen. Because I'm emphasizing the pleasure of the process and the intellectual interest of the process. So my hope is it really is an argument from pleasure, that this is one of the most satisfying things you can do with your leisure time. And yes, you can outsource it, but spending that time in the kitchen is as important now to my sanity as going to the gym or taking a yoga class. I mean, it recollects me, it connects me back to my senses, it gets me off the screens. And it's an opportunity to review the day with my wife and my son, and it supports this amazingly important institution called the home meal, the family meal, which is also in trouble because we're not cooking. And the family meal is the nursery of democracy. I mean, it's a very important institution. It's where our kids learn how to take turns and share and argue without screaming, and they learn manners, and they learn about the arts of conversation. And we're giving this away. We spend more time in what is called secondary eating today, eating while doing other things, in the car, in front of the TV, than we spend in primary eating, 78 minutes versus 67 minutes. And I think that that's a real threat to the health of our families.
Well, you certainly have inspired me to want to get up and get in the kitchen. And
right,
and maybe
Michael.
Out in the barbecue pit there too, Michaels.
Well, that counts, man. Cooking, yeah, barbecuing is one of the most satisfying forms of cooking. And men have, you know, had a monopoly on it, but partly because I think women pretend it's too hard, so they get men to
right.
do something. It's actually not that hard and incredibly satisfying.
Michael Pollan, the author of the new book, Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation. You can learn more about him and his book at our website, wvxu.org. It's available where books are sold, and we'll have a link there as well. Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation, certainly should inspire you to get back in the kitchen.